Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
We were just kind of talking offline a little bit about labels in music, right? And so you classify yourself as truth music, but you don't duck from the title Christian rapper, right?
Nah, what is your perspective on Christian rapper, the title versus rapper?
I am a rapper, right? So if you call me a rapper, I'm not going to correct you like, oh, that's Christian rapper to you, right? But if you call me a Christian rapper, I'm a Christian, right? You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes I don't like the motive because I'm proud to be a Christian. So if you want to put that in a rapper, cool, in front of rapper, cool. But sometimes the motive is to alarm other people to this guy that we just let in. Hey, he's a Christian rapper. And sometimes that does block opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. But, and it comes with a stigma. It does. Like, oh, okay, this you about to be corny. But mm-hmm. I also feel like if you put me in that box, I can rap my way out of that box. Yeah. You feel me? And there's so many rappers, right? Eminem talked about a gang of stuff I don't relate to. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, same people don't relate to. Mm. But he did it so dope, we listened anyway.
Yeah.
So I always felt like if I can do this dope enough.
But see, Eminem didn't start off with a box, though. His only box was he was white, right? So the amount of black and brown rappers compared to white rappers, the scale is like completely upside down. So mm-hmm. I think his being behind the eight ball was him being white, and whatever that kind of negative in his mind or other hip-hop rapper's mind, right? He was able to kind of have the magic of Dr. Dre all around him to give him the black card that he didn't have for himself. So he definitely had to earn everything, and he's like the most incredible rapper to ever walk the face of this earth, in my opinion.
Hey, but right? Because part of following Christ is being okay with not being there sometimes, because
No. I'm speaking my truth.
Yeah.
You could arrive at being content with opportunities that either happen or don't happen.
Fact.
Because you are in love with your position or disposition in Christ. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you ain't rolling with it, this is what I am, this is what I'm doing. And if I'm in the category of Christian rap, I'm all good. And you could play every Sunday at the church, but if you're an organ player and you super dope with your chords and your chord progressions, I'm not putting you in the box of being an organ player because I discovered your gift of musicianship in the sanctuary of a church. I'm looking like, man, the way you play that organ, the way you play the keys, if I put that on an R&B song, if I put that on a pop song, if I put that on hip hop, I can house it in anything I want because the gift stays the same.
But isn't the same thing if he was a Christian rapper, though? You're saying you'd get a church musician that you discovered in church.
Yeah, and put him on R&B.
Put him on R&B.
But I wouldn't take an organ player that I've seen in church or discovered in church that I think is super talented and say, I'll only call you when I'm ready to do a gospel album.
I got what you're saying. So you're saying when you put the label on something, you start to assume that that's all it is. That's all the utility of it is just Christian rap.
Well, what happens is people create the box.
Got you.
For
okay.
you.
Okay.
I tell people all the time, I don't sing for black people.
Sure.
I sing for everybody.
So it seems like I would be the dude who's doing it for whoever's rocking with it, and I'm not placing the value in impressing the industry or these people who, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to cross over, so to speak, if it means, and like I said, I don't lead with, hey, I'm a Christian rapper, make sure you can say rapper, you can say, because people have to break things down however they want to. I can say, we're going to dinner, You ask what dinner, what kind of dinner? I can say Italian. If you want to break it down further, I could tell you the exact meal. Mm-hmm. You feel me? It's about, but the label is for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I knew beforehand what we was going to get and all that. I'm just narrowing it down for you.
But you was rapping before you, by definition,
started doing
your life
for the
to
Lord.
God and started doing it for the Lord and representing the specifics of the kingdom, right?
Facts.
You were rapping.
But then it changed after he got saved.
Well, after he got saved, he was still rapping.
Yes.
His narrative and his dialogue
Constant
with
change.
Rapping was changing, right?
So let me ask you this.
If I'm cripping and blooding and we shooting and selling dope and doing whatever we're doing, and that's where I'm at in that season of my life, then my rapping and my singing is going to reflect that. What I'm wearing, what I'm thinking, my surroundings, my entourage, everything about what I represent, I'm going to show up as that.
Sure.
But the moment that you became a born-again Christian, then everything about your dialogue and everything about the fact that we're even doing this podcast together, we all reflect an aspect of each other, which is, what is your road to the kingdom? What is your road to the cross? What is your road to the cross? There's nobody that I can send his video to that does real hip-hop from Brooklyn to New York to the Bronx to L.A., anybody in the ATL that I send your videos to, nobody is going to hit me back, oh, that's corny because it's Christian. Mm. They're going to all look at your bars. They're going to all look at your topics. They're going to look at the audacity to say that, like, oh, that, hey, he said that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just want you to know, from an innocent worldview that knows nothing about nothing, you're at my house. I flew you out here to the ATL. We're working on something, and I don't know you from a hole in the wall. And until I got on the phone to talk to you, I didn't even realize that you knew anybody I've ever known, friend, family, loved ones. I didn't know you was from LA. I didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
I was just like, yo, whoever this guy is, he got it. And you ask around, I've been known for seeing and recognizing producers, writers, directors, editors, cinematographers, there's no cap to me identifying somebody who's got that, you know, that's like, why you sitting here? How many people out here talking about God and Jesus online? This guy is magic. I knew it instantly.
Thank you.
You think I'm going to bring somebody out to my house and set up microphones at my dinner table? This has never happened. I've been here for 7 years.
Oh, wait. So you brought him out because he's a Christian podcaster?
No.
No, I was playing. No. Why the hell him and hurt me?
I brought him out because I love the audacity that he has with his approach to speaking to the kingdom.
I love that word. You keep saying audacity.
It's
that word. Because what I think about it, what I think though, is the audacity aspect. I feel kingdom people are going to be some of the last people in society and culture that have the audacity to speak truth to power.
Yeah.
Because of all the stuff that's being pushed on people, right?
Which is fragile, politically correct.
But in music, I'm like, yo, you don't have to glorify sex, drugs, murder, all this. You don't have to tear down the community to be successful. Now there's you know, what you're told is successful, right? And
you're saying that you don't have to do what I used to do before I started doing
what
this.
I thought I had to do to be successful.
Right. But see, that's the message that I think is important, in my opinion. You don't have to do what I thought I had to do in order to get on as a rapper. Mm. My narrative changed when my heart for God changed.
That's good.
Yeah.
My life changed when I would realize, like, I can boldly sell murder, drugs, crip and blood, and hood politics and street stuff, right? But if I ever jump to the other side and I start rapping about the true desires of my heart and my actual faith and belief system, then I'm gonna be wrote off as corny or be put in a box. Oh, that's the Jesus dude. You're always talking about Jesus. Get over there, man. You'll never be Jadakiss. You're talking about Jesus too much, you know?
Yeah.
So you made the choice to say, wherever I land, if I'm going to get off message and start, my heart is, my desire, God is telling me to, God is kind of pushing me into, the amount of rappers that wear Jesus pieces that don't rap about Jesus, the amount of rappers that's got full Bible scriptures in their tattoos on their arms or their chest or their back with full crosses, and not one piece of a verse on their album is dedicated to what their actual belief system is. I can see your belief, but you're not speaking on it. God never comes up in any of these conversations.
Back in the day, right, before I really started walking with the Lord, I was in the world and I was doing this music. In studio sessions, I would never bring God into play. But if somebody else brought up God, then I became, yeah, me too.
Ah.
Yeah, I love. And sometimes it's somebody else's boldness that gave me a little more boldness. Wow. And so I try to use my boldness to make sure people don't feel alone. Like, when we look at this world, it's going crazy. And if you speak up, they rain down on you like you're the one that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to be a voice like, no, it's not you, it's them. Yeah. It's the world. The world is crazy.
Let me ask you a question, though. And this is something that I'm sure you've been asked before. Are you... Because as I'm asking you this question, I'm asking myself the question too, right? But are you standing firmly and unapologetic about what you're bringing to the culture versus considering the feelings that you might be hurting from some of your bars and your messaging and the things that you're pointing out?
I try to consider all of that when I create. You know what I'm saying? I pray before I write. Like, my goal is not to hurt that individual. But in music, you're talking to a whole bunch of people. And that's the hard part, right? Because when I want to talk to black people, white people are listening and saying amen. And I'm saying, yo, we need to stop this killing. Yeah, tell those. Right. And then when I want to talk to black folks, so I can't really isolate everybody. Mm-hmm. So I try to speak to the group that I'm intending to hear it, mm-hmm. knowing everybody else is going to hear it, and balance the message the best that I possibly can.
I love that.
But if I say, hey, drugs is ruining the community, you have the dude who's out here like, man, F that, I'm about to go get this bag, I'm about to eat. And then you got the dude who's like, man, I know, but I need to feed my family. Mm-hmm. How can I only have one mic and I'm putting this message out there. Mm-hmm. As individuals, mm-hmm. those two might get hit different ways. They feel different.
Yeah, they're going to be, yeah, whatever.
But I'm talking to the group.
Everybody is triggered
you feel
in their
me?
Own way, in their own capacity. There's some people that's so bold with the audacity of what they choose to do or who they choose to love or whatever their journey and their walk is. There's nothing that me or you could ever say or point out that could ever make them feel uncomfortable about what makes them happy,
right?
Right? How can anybody talk you out of Jesus?
But sometimes you're talking to their representation too, right? I'm not talking mm-hmm. to the necessarily every time to the individual, especially right. if you're struggling and you know what I'm saying? And yeah. I try to, because we all struggle. Like you yes. said, bro, like everybody's struggling with something and they hate it the way, like, I hate my sin the way you hate your sin, the way you hate. Mm-hmm. And it could be three different things, but those three things have us all crying out to God and leaning on him, right?
Absolutely. Let me just chime in and say, I think what you're getting at is there's a difference between speaking out against the principality of the air,
that part,
and the ideology, and dehumanizing the individual.
Right. When you tell your truth, when you speak your truth, when you walk and you live your truth, there's going to be people that completely align themselves with you and your thoughts and your worldview. And there's going to be people that partially don't agree. And there's going to be people that will completely spaz right. out right. and become unbearable and try and get rid of your every piece of existence because they are so against everything yeah. that you feel.
Try to cancel you.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Yeah. So the audacity to say, this is me. I'm Malcolm X. This is what I see. This is what I believe, and I'm not going to take the Dr. King approach to what I see and what I feel. I'm not going to say, kumbaya, you know, turn the other cheek. I'm going to say, if you slap me, I'm slapping you back. And that was the difference between the messages between Malcolm and Martin. Not totally, but, you know, there was a huge difference between the boldness and the audacity of each one of them. But they were both each very impactful and uplifting. And so I have that same torch.
It's one thing if I'm speaking my truth. This is me speaking God's truth. This is me speaking His word trumps my truth. His truth. I got saved. I came out the world with all my truths. Every time I read one of His truths that clashes with mine, mine got to go in the dumpster, and I want to receive His. I got to accept what He says is true. So that's the angle that I'm coming at. And if you follow me any kind of way, you know, sometimes people might not know your catalog, so they might be like, "Oh, well, he only does this." And my fans be like, "Nah, he go at everybody." He said, "Cause I'm gonna go at myself the same way."
Oh no, no,
you know what I'm saying?
It's self. Like I said, bro, as much as I'd like to sit here with whatever records I've sold, whatever movies I've done, and say like, "Yo, I'm rocking with you," because the box that you're in is the box that I believe you're in, and that's why I reached out to you. I'm about to do something in the Christian rap space, so I need to go hit up a Christian rapper. No, bro, you a rapper. You got bars. You're not just the artist, you're a recording artist, because there's a lot of dudes out here that sing, and the moment they get in the studio, my ears just go, ah.
So to land the plane, I like this tension of categories, yeah, right? And the R&B dude that can actually rap, right? Categorically, having heard that from him, and, which is meant as a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I receive it as that.
Yeah, how would you define, to kind of land a plan, what you hope to see happen with your music in the coming years? Because you've done some really awesome things, you know what I mean? But it sounds like you're getting at, like, yo, this could even be broader.
So. No, I want to be specific. Your beats, your bars, your cadence, your actual voice as a rapper, as an MC, is beyond the scope of just Christianity. And I just need you to know that. The Christian fans, they not going nowhere. But I tell Kim Burrell, Kim Burrell, who is now my mama, because my mama died 2 years ago. My mama passed away. God sent me, of all people, she sent me the most powerful, most influential vocalist in the history of humanity. Who is Beyonce's hero? Who is Whitney Houston's hero? Who is Jasmine Sullivan, Brandy? Like, we go on and on and on and on. These are all of the people that's just like, oh my God, how do you do what it is that you do with your voice and your vocals and your singing and your texture and your runs and your piano playing. So, but this is a woman that's never won a Grammy, but yet has influenced hundreds and hundreds of millions of albums sold. Beyonce has ran out of cabinet space from the amount of Grammys that she's won. And I don't think there's anybody that has influenced Beyonce, not only from Houston, born and raised in Houston, just like Kim Burrell, over Kim Burrell. Mm-hmm. And these are things that Kim Burrell would never say, but this is how I feel, because my worldview is I see Jasmine Sullivan, I see Brandy, I see Tamar and all of the Braxton. I see every male, female, Stevie Wonder, everyone who has ever sung and existed. Mention Kim Burrell. Oh, God. It's crazy. And all of us will go the rest of our lives trying to study and understand how it is that she do what it is that she do. So for anybody to say to me, Kim Burrell, the gospel singer, Kim Burrell has already influenced everybody in gospel. The people that's in gospel only inspire people in gospel. She's for the most part. There is nobody in gospel who has ever impacted every aspect of every category of singing and music more than Kim Burrell.
That's good.
That's jazz, that's blues, that's R&B, that's soul, that's every category beyond the scope of the box called gospel.
Similar to what you were saying, right? You was like, Beyonce has a cabinet full of, you know, awards, yep, or Grammys. Kim Burrell doesn't have any, but she inspired
hundreds of millions. I lost count of how many people who have won Grammys who could say my biggest inspiration is Kim Burrell. And she doesn't have a Grammy for herself.